Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the reigning, defending, undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion!
Wildcat Radio 2.0. Bear down, you beautiful people.
What's up, everybody? This is Wildcat Radio 2.0. I'm Adam Green. He's Brett Barry. Brett, I'm back after a couple of weeks' absence. I was in Hawaii on my honeymoon after getting married. It was a delightful time, but while I was gone, and then since I've returned, the Arizona women's basketball team just keeps winning. It's been great. They are in the Final Four, taking on UConn Friday night. Wow. This is amazing.
Yeah, first off, welcome back, Adam.
Thanks.
I would say we missed you, but
yeah, I don't need to lie to people. Not on the first minute of the show, anyway.
Yeah, and I'm sure you did not miss us when you were on the beaches of Maui.
No, but I did make sure to watch the games when they were on. Like, I didn't miss Arizona stuff, just because I wasn't ready to talk about it on a podcast. But I'm like, anytime Arizona's playing, I'm going to watch. And of course, the women's team, you knew they had a chance to make a deep run, and it's been fun to watch it happen.
Yeah, and you know. I don't think anybody can say they got too many or didn't beat some good teams. You know, I was on the record with Ronnie 2 weeks ago that A&M was probably the best number two seed in the whole bracket, in my opinion. Indiana is no joke as a team either.
Nope.
Of course, now they congratulations. Now you get to play the mighty UConn Huskies, like all time, like, you know, best women's college program, but and it's not even close.
They've made it to like of the last 13 Final Fours.
It's whatever is like the best men's run, like double it, and that's basically what they've been doing.
You could argue they should have probably lost to Baylor. That was a foul at the end, but
it definitely was.
But UConn is still UConn. Whether they lost, even if they lost that game, I mean, Baylor wouldn't have been an easy one to handle either. But like, when you get to the Final Four, you should not have easy matchups. Let's put it that way. Like, that's fair, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, I think I speak for most Arizona Wildcats fans where they're super excited about it, and they're, you know, college basketball for men's and women's is a weird thing where usually the goal is to just get to the Final Four, not to even win the whole thing.
Right.
And so now, you know, achievement unlocked, but now you get to face the final boss in the video game.
But it's not even the final boss. If they win the game, there's still another boss.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, but UConn's the 800-pound gorilla, right?
Yeah.
And, like, it's going to be fun. They're going to be a tough matchup, just knowing what I know about UConn. I'm not going to lie and say I've gotten to watch a lot of UConn games this year, but you can look at their lineup and their record and their performance against some good teams. And, you know, the Baylor game was... You know, that was a foul. Remy Martin, that is what a foul looks like at the end of the game.
And that's such high-level basketball, too, though. Those are two of the best teams in the country.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what's interesting to me is that for Arizona, like, this isn't a fluke. And we're going to talk to P.J. Brown, who's out in covering them for the Arizona Daily Star in a little bit, because we want to get the perspective of someone who's on the ground with the team. But, like, Arizona's good. And I know, like, UConn's a higher seed. Arizona was a 3 seed, so they're not... You know, and they kind of stumbled into the tournament. They weren't playing great basketball towards the end of the season, but you knew they had it in them. And even last season, they would have been probably a top 3 seed, and then the tournament was canceled. The year before, they won the women's NIT. Like, they were building to this point, and we could literally say that the 800-pound gorilla, that's UConn, but if you're Arizona, like, there's no pressure on you right now. Like, yes, you've made it to the Final Four. They hang banners for making it to the semifinals in basketball, which is crazy. But... Like, you, if you want to take that mentality, if you got nothing to lose, you're playing with house money, they can do it. And it's not that they're a plucky underdog. They're a damn good basketball team. Just they're playing UConn, right? Like, that's all it is. It's not like the Arizona's gotten to this point year after year after year and failed, and you're like, oh, man, like, if they don't do it now. It's like, no, this is their first time in the tournament since, what, 2005? You know, yeah. And they would have made it last year. But this is not a plucky underdog story. This isn't they finally made it and this is their only chance. This is hey, Arizona's good and they get this shot.
Yeah, two things. Like, one, I'm so happy that this is like the Final Four run we hoped was possible last year and then even more believed was possible this year. And it's great to see it happen. But I think you hit on something where it's, you know, I'm actually curious to talk to PJ and get her perspective of, you know, on the ground and interacting with the team. Because, you watch this team and it's like they both know that they're good, but they also don't know that they should feel more pressure. Like, they have some weird combination of, confidence in their abilities, and rightfully so, as a team that fits together really well. Plus, you have, legendary Ari McDonald dropping 31 points and getting 11 rebounds against Indiana at 5-6. But, like, she was facilitating and hitting her play, like, getting assists on threes, on drives, playing defense. And they just don't seem fazed by the stage right now. And they just feel like, yeah, we know we belong here. And there's this weird, newness that they don't know that the pressure they should be feeling, right?
Maybe. And I wonder, too, how much of the fact that last season's tournament never happened plays a role in that. Because, they knew they were good last year. This isn't the first year they've been good. This isn't just that random team that's making this miraculous run to the Final Four. This is a team that was ready to make this run. They have veterans. They have leadership. They have Ari McDonald, who is playing out of her mind right now. When you have someone who can basically win a game by themselves, as they do, you can go far. You can pull upsets. But even then, like, I don't remember if they were favorite or underdogs against Indiana. It was like a 2-point spread one way or the other. I don't remember what it was, but that was basically a pick 'em game. And it was close for a little while, and then Arizona took the lead in the second half and never gave it up. You know, they made big shots when they needed it. It wasn't just Ari McDonald. They made shots. They made plays of toughness on defense, where it will be interesting to see them match up with a team like UConn. Because, we saw Arizona, they struggled with Stanford, and conference play, and Stanford's really good too. There's a reason why they're still around, like that they're always, in that group too, because those are elite teams. But your Arizona, they're a 3 seed. There's number 1 Stanford, number 1 South Carolina, number 1 UConn, and number 3 Arizona. But as far as number 3s go, obviously Arizona's not a 1 seed for a reason. They struggled when they played Stanford, who is a 1 seed. But that's not to say Arizona can't compete, and it's really exciting to see them get the chance against UConn, especially knowing that they really have nothing to lose, and in a lot of ways, this is probably just the beginning for the program.
Yeah, you raised an interesting point when you said that, they knew they were good last year, and then the tournament didn't happen, and I wonder if that maybe helps explain what I was trying to clumsily describe, where they know that they've been good for a while now. If you date back to the NIT run, since the start of the NIT, through all of last year, through this year, they've basically been a really good team for, 2.5+ years, right? But they didn't have, if they had lost in the second round of 32 last year, maybe they'd feel more pressure this year with the roster coming back. But they just don't have that. But they have the confidence of a team that knows they're good. It's really fun. And that, watching the Indiana game, that was really high-level basketball. I think I was trying to troll some people on the Twitter handle. I said, and yes, either of these teams could beat your rec league team. I don't care how good you are. Because there was high basketball IQ in that game. I thoroughly enjoyed watching it. I'm very excited to watch the UConn game because I think the level is going to be raised even higher.
Okay, when she went down with that ankle late in the fourth quarter, and all of Tucson and everyone else who was watching just holds up and goes, because it's like, at that point, you knew they were going to win the game. I forget how much time was left, but it would have taken a collapse for Arizona to lose. Like, they need her. Like, no, don't do this. And, and obviously she started walking it off. She came back in the game, okay, good. She's fine. But that was a little bit scary towards the end of that game.
Yeah. As much as I love the roster, I immediately went to, boy, there's some great players all around on this roster. But I don't want to play UConn without Ari McDonald.
And this team, and as we end this segment, we're going to talk to PJ Brown from the Arizona Daily Star next, but this was the run that these players deserved to have. You know, that's what we felt bad for, the Kate Reeses, the Baptiste, the Ari McDonalds last season when they didn't get a chance to prove themselves in the tournament for this program that they joined that wasn't very good when they joined with Adia Barnes, but she's built it up. Last year was supposed to be there. We're back in the tournament. Let's see what we can do. They didn't have that opportunity. No one did, but they didn't have that opportunity. We all felt bad because we knew they could have done some damage. And then finally this year, they get to have that opportunity, and they're taking advantage of it. So, I mean, it's the Final Four, Brett. Like, they are one of the four teams left in women's college basketball, and they have a chance to win a national championship.
You got to love it when it's playing basketball in April. Plus, to make this about me, I tweeted out from my personal handle, the curse of losing an Elite Eight matchup on my birthday was broken. So thank you, ladies.
There you go. So, Brett, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk to PJ Brown from the Arizona Daily Star, who is in San Antonio covering the Wildcats' Final Four run.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to Wildcat Radio 2.0, and we are excited to be joined by PJ Brown from the Arizona Daily Star, who is in San Antonio covering the Arizona Wildcats Final Four run. PJ, welcome to Wildcat Radio.
Thanks for having me on, Adam.
We're excited to have you on because this is a Final Four run, and every Arizona fan, we dream of Final Fours. This run has been incredible for this basketball team, but Brett and I were talking before you came on about how this isn't really a surprise. This isn't a plucky underdog story that's making just a surprise run to the Final Four. They're a three seed. They would have been a top three seed probably last year if there had been a tournament. But how's the vibe with this team in terms of confidence going into this game?
Well, it's very interesting because they're a three seed, and we've all watched them in day in and day out, right? Locally, we've seen this team. And so we sort of know who they are and what they can do. But nationally, they have no idea. So even though they're a three seed, they're still considered an underdog. And this team sort of knows that. They've said all along that they have something to prove. And just because they got to the Final Four, they're not done proving it. They are determined. They think they're going to win it all. And this is just the next game that they're playing. And I haven't seen them with this much determination since the WNIT run 2 years ago. And we all know what happened there. That was a season where they had this remarkable season out of nowhere, seemingly. And then they go to postseason and they get this look in their eye. And they talk with kind of this swagger and this confidence. And the next thing you know, they're cutting down nets. And it was this incredible, magical run. And I feel like we're in the midst of a similar thing right now, even though it's on a bigger level.
Yeah, Adam and I were talking before you joined us, where I don't know if I've ever quite seen so much confidence from a team that also, you know, hasn't had sustained success in so long, but at the same time, because the last few years have been so strange, going back to that NIT run, they also know they're a great team, but I don't know. So they have that confidence, but I'm not sure they have the sense of how big the stage really is, because almost that, you know, there hasn't been a tournament run from this team in so long. What's, I guess you're on the ground, you know the team better than almost anybody that's not, you know, involved in the program. What's your sense of, you know, I think we all can see that they're confident, but are they just, you know, blissfully unaware of the pressure they should be feeling? Is that, how does that work with this team? Is that just the nature of the makeup of this collection of players?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's very interesting. I think it goes right to Adia Barnes, right? She has built this team sort of in her image. So everything that she tells you, they embody, right? they embody like what she was as a player and now what she is as a coach. She tells you day in and day out, she focuses on one game, the game that's in front of her, and that's it. She doesn't look ahead. So even now, when they think in the, they've said, like, we're going to win the national championship, right? They're focused on this game right now against UConn. 100%. They're not looking ahead. So it's who they are. They take the noise and they push it aside. They focus on themselves, all the little things that Adia says. They get better every day. They try to play their best basketball every day. They do all those things, and they totally bought into her system. That was her vision, and they're like, they're doing it, right? They're performing. They're doing everything that she said that they were going to do, how she was going to build this program, and they are actually embodying that whole thing. And so while this is on the biggest stage and all that, it doesn't even faze them. They are just like, we're here, we're having fun, and we're just going to show everybody we're the best, right? That's it. That's all it is. And it's that simple. And if you look at it to every single one of them, they're not cocky. They're just matter of fact that, you know, they're playing their best ball when it matters. And, you know, they're not intimidated by anybody. They're going up against this powerhouse, traditional powerhouse team that's won a zillion national championships. They've been to the Final Four like every year forever. And they're like, you know, they lace up their shoes just like we do. They are not fazed by this at all.
So what we're saying is UConn doesn't lace up their shoes just like through telepathy or anything like that. They use their hands and fingers to lace up their shoes. That's good, because the aura around that program could make you think something else. You mentioned Adia Barnes, though, like what she brought to this team. I read one of your stories, too. I found interesting. When they cut down the nets Tuesday night, that wasn't the first time these players cut down the nets. And I read that article about how Adia Barnes wanted to feel that, you know what it's like to celebrate that. And that doesn't necessarily seem normal to me. You know, that a lot of coaches, okay, we're going to let you celebrate this as if we did what we want to do. That seems like, I mean, that's Adia Barnes, and it seems to have worked. But it's almost like such a unique approach to things that, like you said, the team's really bought into. And it doesn't think it took her long to get the team to buy in, the program to buy in. And where she has it going, not just this season, but for the future, is very much in an upward trajectory going in the direction that we all want it to go.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if you read the story about the connection, the UA-UConn connection. And Sue Bird said, you know, you meet Adia Barnes and like 5 seconds later, you're like drawn in, right? And so when all of these players decided to come to Arizona, when they were recruited by Adia, whether they transferred here or they came right out of high school, they knew what they were getting. Adia is extremely transparent. You know right away who she is and what she does and just how she goes about things, right? And she's one of the most dynamic people you will ever meet. And at the same time, she's like your sister, your neighbor, all of that kind of stuff. She was this professional basketball player, an elite level athlete who won a WNBA championship. And you talk to her and you stand next to her. And at times you have to like remind yourself that that's who she is, because you would not know, because she is so down to earth and just this really incredible leader, incredible person. And, you know, when she took the job 5 years ago, she said, this is how I'm going to get there. This is what I'm going to do. And she does all these incredible things, not only the visualization, but she does like really great team bonding exercises where, you know, she teaches them, she has them go through etiquette class. They took dates with each other to really get to know their teammates better. They went through the military training that like Coach Candrea has done. But she's always coming up with something new. She spends a lot of time not only like figuring out how to, you know, get better every year, how to tweak her system and take it up to another level with the talent that she has, but she always looks at different ways to teach them. A few years ago, she did those DISC assessments for all of her players and her staff to find out like how they learn. And she figured out that her team learns by, she has to really explain why she's doing something. And so she sort of changed how she taught them, which is phenomenal. Like, I don't really remember, you know, reading about another coach who does these things all the time, who's always, you know, once in a while there are coaches like Corey Close is a great coach at UCLA. And I know she brings in like different types of like mental coaches where they look at different things. But Adia seems to take it to the next level, right? She's always looking to get better and finding different and new ways to teach and to get certain things across to her players.
Well, it's definitely worked. We're talking to PJ Brown, who's in San Antonio with the women's basketball team for the Arizona Daily Star. And there is all this, like, we're excited about the run to this point, and we're excited about what's in store for this program after this season and beyond. But there is a pretty big game on Friday against the UConn Huskies. And, you know, it's like Arizona in the tournament for the first time in a decade and a half, more than a decade. You got UConn, who's been in the Final Four, I think each of the last 13 times there's been a Final Four. So it's obviously not exactly, it's not David and Goliath, but because Arizona's not, I don't think it's that much of a mismatch, but historically the programs are on the opposite ends of the spectrum. But it's a big game. Arizona thinks it can win, and there's reason to believe that. When you look at this game, just from a big picture level, Arizona versus UConn, what do you see?
I think it's going to be a really great matchup. You have a UConn team that is full of All-Americans, really great players. Paige Beckers is a freshman, and she won the AP's Player of the Year award, and she's a great talent.
Yeah,
and she's surrounded by great talents. And then she has a coach who is in Gino Auriemma, who is, you know, one of the best coaches in the history of women's college basketball.
Basketball so in general, too.
Yeah. So you have that on one hand, and then you have the other hand where you have Adia Barnes, who is a great basketball mind. She is a great teacher. She a great X's and O's coach in the game, right? And a great relationship person who is here for the first time, but yet it doesn't seem like it's the first time for her, right? She seems like she's been here before. And so you have that. You have a player in Ari McDonald who is probably the best point guard in the nation and probably the best defensive player in the nation, regardless of how the those awards are handed out. And she's having the best tournament of any player right now. Mm-hmm. And then you have all the supporting, parts of her team, which the Sam Thomases and the Helena Pollo and Trinity Baptiste and Kate Reese, of course. And so it's going to be a really hard fought game. And then there's some extra motivation. You know, there was the NCAA put out a really interesting hype video today that only had three of the four teams that are in the Final Four, and Arizona was left off. So you can only imagine that's another chip on their shoulder, and they're going to come out even more ready to play. It's going to be a great game, a great matchup.
No, I think we're all super excited for this game. I think you're right. It's going to be fun. I said before you joined us that the level of basketball quality in the Indiana-Arizona game was very high, and I expect it's just going to get higher with this one. But, you know, PJ, thanks again for taking the time to join us. But I want to ask you at least one last question that's maybe a little open ended. I want you to say you're writing your after the game. You're writing your article talking about this game. Finish this sentence in this hypothetical world. The Arizona Wildcats, you know, beat the Goliath UConn Huskies because of blank.
Because Erin McDonald made a promise and she delivered. I think that's it. She promised all the seniors from last year who didn't get to play in the tournament last year that they were going to make it and make a big run. She promised all the Wildcat alums who came in the 15 years before that, that they were playing for them. And she's playing to set the legacy, her legacy, and to put Arizona on the map as the next powerhouse. And she did it.
That's quite the lead in your your article for Saturday, hopefully.
And can you give me this back so that I can have this lead and write it on deadline tomorrow night?
Absolutely. I think our goal is to have this published tomorrow. We're recording on April 1st, and I think the goal is to have it published tomorrow. So hopefully you'll have this to pull from for your notes and have a nice head start, and then you can enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks. That'd be great.
That'd be a terrific lead to read. And in reality, I know Arizona's, I think it's at last I saw, 13.5-point underdog. But also, yeah, it wouldn't be surprising at all, I don't think. But like, is there any... feel bad about even asking another question after that last answer, because that seemed like just the perfect way to wrap things up. But just, is there any specific, everybody knows what Erin McDonald, you know, we know that, but what are the matchups that we need to be watching out for tomorrow? If Arizona's going to pull the upset, you know, yeah, besides Erin's promises and everything, why did it happen?
Oh, Arizona defense.
Yeah.
It is an elite defense and it's going to shut them down. It's the Sam Thomas. She plays textbook defense. She is, you know, we talk about Erin McDonald's defense. Sam Thomas is one of the best defensive players in the nation, and she doesn't get talked about enough. It's going to be her. It's going to be Helena doing what she does. Trinity being a beast inside. Bendu. I mean, all of them coming together, playing as a unit on defense. And then really key moments that, you know, Sam and Helena are going to hit threes. They're going to be aggressive going to the basket. Trinity's going to muscle in down low. I think Kate Reese is due for, you know, having a big game, and she knows this is it. I think it's all of those things. Lauren Ware. Oh, my God. Lauren Ware is going to be a star. I'm just waiting for it to happen, right? It's going to happen. It's going to totally happen. She's a great player. We've watched her all season long, even in game, her getting better and stronger and more dominant. It's just, you know, we talk about Erin McDonald, right? And she's phenomenal and she's carried this team. But I mean, you go down every single player, it's a true team win. That's it. It's a team win. If it wasn't the other night, if it wasn't for Helena getting those three-pointers and her having that great assist where she rolled the ball to Bendu, they wouldn't have won, right? If it wasn't for, you know, Sam doing Sam things, if it wasn't for all these people doing what they do in those moments, they're not here.
That makes sense to us. Well, PJ, thanks for joining us. I know we can find your content, PJBrown09 on Twitter. We already know what your lead's going to be Friday nights, but if there's other kind of, what should people, Wildcat Radio 2.0 listeners, what should they be looking for from you over the next couple of days, or what do you have coming down?
Well, we're going to have to see, but let's see. Well, great notes tomorrow. Great notes for Saturday's paper, plus a gamer. And then Sunday will be, if they win notes and, the advance, whatever comes out of the game Friday for that game, if they win. And, whenever this run is over, we're going to have a special treat, one of the follow-up stories. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
All right, well, PJ, hopefully that story comes sometime mid-next week. That's what we're hoping for the follow-up yes. story. But PJ Brown in San Antonio covering the Arizona Wildcats Final Four run. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, that's PJ Brown. We come back. There's a little bit more news coming around the Wildcats program, other sports. Let's get into it. Welcome back to Wildcat Radio, and once again, thanks to P.J. Brown for that incredible insight into the women's basketball team, who has a Final Four matchup with UConn Friday evening in San Antonio. But, Brett, there's a little bit of news that came out for some other sports. We'll start off with men's basketball. James Akinjo announced that he's going to enter his name in the NBA draft, test the waters, but also leave room for the possibility of returning to the Wildcats. And it's not a surprise, I don't think. He had a good season last year in his first with Arizona. Test the waters, see what it comes back, right? Just see what they say.
Yeah, I mean, for James Akinjo, it would be doing himself a disservice to you know, after he had a fantastic season that I think exceeded most people's expectations, and I had pretty high expectations for him, maybe more than most people. I think he even exceeded my expectations. You know, I don't think it's highly likely he'll, you know, be promised something that says, hey, I need to leave. I think it's the more likely outcome is he comes back, but you know, I personally have no problem with him testing the waters, getting a sense of things, getting feedback and saying, hey, here's the things to focus on in your game. And I could probably surmise what a couple of those things might be, mm-hmm. but you know, it's more impactful coming from NBA draft scouts from Brett Berry at Wildcat Radio 2.0.
Oh, don't sell yourself short there, but no. And then, I guess there's only two downsides to this. The one is that who knows what he's going to be told, but he doesn't have to come back. Now, none of the players have to come back. So he could hear his feedback and say, okay, that's fine. I'll go play pro somewhere else, even if it's not the NBA. Like, guys who have kept their names in the NBA draft without knowing that they're going to get picked. And it seems at this point unlikely that Akinjo would be picked, certainly not in the first round. And it's, I guess, hard to believe that'd be a second round, not because he's not a good player, just because he hasn't proven as much at the college level. But also, I guess the one fear would be, and this has happened before, when guys know what the NBA wants to see from them, they work on that and they do all that at possibly at the expense of their team's success, you know, in the college game. You know, who was it? Marcus Williams, I think, way back in the day, he came back, he was auditioning for the NBA, and he wasn't great. I think it was his sophomore season. Iguodala had that year where he was auditioning for the NBA, and some people were like, yeah, he wasn't exactly playing the type of game he should. I'm not saying Akinjo would be that, but sometimes when the NBA says, work on this, show us this, and a player is like, so hyper-focused on showing them that, it's at the expense of other things. But for Akinjo to declare for the draft with the option to return, smart decision. It's the best thing for him. Of course, Arizona could use him coming back. Jamal Baker's transferring. Terrell Brown transferred. they kind of need Akinjo. Like, there's a lot of roster movement still, and the transfer portal just for everybody has been insane. It seems like every day there's, you know, a dozen players that I've heard of that are entering the transfer portal, so that could get messy, but James Akinjo, good luck as you test the NBA draft waters, because we always want to see Wildcats in the pros. So if that's his way to do it, then you know, we'd wish him luck. Moving over to football, actually, the spring game, which is later this month, we're recording on April 1st. Later this month, the spring game, Arizona is allowed to have up to 5,000 fans there on April 24th, noon on April 24th. I think it feels like a step towards normalcy, you know, like that. That's nice, right?
I mean, that's bigger capacity than most home games.
Okay, there it is.
It's right there for the taking. I can joke because I literally drive from Phoenix to Tucson with.
You're one of those 5,000 fans, pretty much.
Yeah. It's you know, there's been a lot of positive developments in the COVID world. You know, cautiously optimistic. You know, vaccines are coming and being successful. I know you and I are both vaccinated and very happy about it.
Yes.
You know, it's exciting. And, you know, talking about spring football, the spring game is a great time for Jed Fish to kind of continue to build on that momentum of the narrative and the connection with the community. So being able to have fans there, if they can get 5,000 people, I don't know if we've ever had 5,000 people show up for a spring game ever.
I'm not going to lie. I've thought about asking the wife if she wants to go to Tucson on April 24th just to check that out and try to be one of those 5,000, you know, just to see, because even like you mentioned, like the buzz, like Gronk and Teddy Bruschi are supposed to be coaching the teams. So that's going to be fun. but it just kind of builds off of what we've been seeing. Like, we're not at practice every day, and when we get to that point, like, we're going to talk to some football people who have been at practices, of course, to kind of break down what's going on. But the just the level of access that's been granted to media and fans to be there to watch the practices. And the one thing that I don't know if their players, the roster is still not great. We know that. And it's a new system, new coaching staff, so there's going to be some rough patches. But if your coaches and you're kind of hide that stuff from people, it's like, what are you hiding? You know, Jed Fish and this stuff, like, hey, come watch what we do. Watch us work. So that's got to be a little bit, emboldening isn't the term, but like you feel better about what they're doing because they're not afraid to show what they're doing. They're not afraid to have people watch them. And having the spring game, having fans there, a decent amount of fans there, I think that'll be nice. And, you know, to see which how the quarterbacks are doing with this offense, whether some of them are under center even. You know, Gunnar Cruz and Will Plummer seem to be their early favorites from what I've been reading. You know, see this receiving group that has, Johnson's been turning heads. Jamari Joyner's there. Stanley Berryhill is always solid. You know, with this new kind of NFL-style approach they're taking, by the end of this month, hopefully things are kind of moving in the right direction for them, clicking a little bit more, and they can put on a show in front of 5,000 fans.
I mean, the spring game is the first chance for us to actually see it with our own eyeballs when multiple passes are thrown to a tight end in a row.
As I said, we've seen those reports, too, that the tight ends are actually going to be part of the offense, for real. But, this is the time of year where it's supposed to be exciting. Even when you're coming off an 0-5 season, when you've lost your last 12 games, and the last game you did play, no one ever wants to speak of again. Like, this is the time that's supposed to be exciting. And no one's saying, oh, look what they're talking about in spring ball. This team's going to be a bowl team and contend for the Pac-12 South. But if your hope is that they're going to be better, that they are improving, even slowly and even marginally when it comes to wins and losses when the season does start, this is the time of year to have those thoughts. This is the time of year to feel good about the program. And a spring game in front of fans at the end of this month, after what we've been hearing, like, that's what you need. That's the cherry on top for this offseason in terms of, like, before they get to, like, fall camp, before they really start ramping up for the season, for the games. Like, this is that honeymoon period, that grace period. And this is another way to do it, by having fans at your spring game enjoying what they're seeing.
One, even beyond just the fans and the media and the narrative locally, being able to even have 5,000 fans, which I don't think that's ever happened at a spring game in Arizona. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I guess we have to be sure, but, like, just because they can have 5,000 doesn't mean they will have 5,000.
Well, but if they can, that tells you something.
Yeah.
You know, Arizona's not going to fill a 70,000 person stadium for a spring game like some schools in the Big Ten or the SEC would be doing, right?
Right.
But, you know, I mean, half of Greek life might show up just to see Gronk. And you have Teddy Bruschi and Gronk there coaching, and that's also going to be another chance to have eyeballs of recruits.
Oh, and you'll be on ESPN with that. They're going to highlight Gronk and Teddy Bruschi coaching the spring game.
Yeah, you know, watching them throw passes to a tight end while Gronk is coaching the team, like, the recruiting pitch writes itself for, like, if Arizona's targeting some high-end tight end recruits, like they have been in the last few months.
Yeah.
Again, you know how much I hate the narrative game, but boy, the positive narrative can actually help self-materialize.
This is the time for narratives. Because there's no games. Like, they're not on the field winning and losing. This is only narratives. This is only X and Y and Z came into camp, the best shape they've been in, this person's exciting. None of it's real, all of it's real, some we don't know, but this is the time for all of that.
Well, was it Rich Rod, or who was it that said, like, if we lose the spring game, we're in trouble?
Right? I mean, that's basically how it is, though. Like, this is for building that momentum, building that support, and Jed Fish he's played all the right notes in terms of media accessibility, in terms of the way he's been out in front, just being on TV, on the radio, just doing interviews and being open and transparent with this program. Like, I've read a lot of articles. I read one, I think it was a 24/7 article about how, like, his transparency is such a big deal. And you're not hearing bad things about Jed Fish and his coaching staff. Everything you're hearing is good. Now, the questions are always, it's always followed by, will they have enough talent to win? And it'll take time if they're going to get there. But you don't hear anyone saying, what is this guy doing? You know, what is this coaching staff doing? They don't know. They don't have a clue. Like, everyone's pretty confident in the coaching staff with understanding that's going to take time. But right now is when you should be having fun, when you should be enjoying the coverage, when you should be getting optimistic. We should be, by April 25th, especially going on that spring game, we should be talking about how Arizona's going to compete for the Rose Bowl this year. That's the whole point of this time of year. Then you get closer to the games, you're like, oh, wait, no, they're not that good. But still, you hope.
Yeah, and, you know, your point is well taken with Jed Fish being, you know, relatively transparent. But if he was transparent, he'd come on Wildcat Radio 2.0 with us. What are you afraid of, Jed?
This is not how you get guests, bro. We don't threaten them.
I'm trying to nag him, Adam. I'm trying to nag him.
We're going to get a tweet to the Wildcat Radio AZ Twitter account from Jed Fish. Be like, hey, I'm ready. What do you guys want to record?
Hey, stranger things have happened, man. Coach Fish, please come join us. We're nice.
Wait, did your negging just turn to pleading?
I mean, I couldn't keep it up. It's a facade.
It looked like it was hurting you. But otherwise, like a lot of Arizona sports, Arizona baseball, they're in the top 25 right now as a recording. They're beginning a series with ASU up in Tempe. Tennis has done really well. Men's tennis. Like, it's not a bad time. Softball, you know, is doing their thing as they always do. So like, it's not a bad time for Arizona athletics as a whole. You know, especially when, and when, like, we started the show, we can end it that way. The women's basketball team's in the Final Four.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Adam, as soon as we finished talking to PJ, I'm like, boy, I forgot how fun it is to talk about a team that's fun to watch and doing well.
Yeah, when you have those expectations and they are being met and or surpassed, that's nice.
Yeah, plus it's just nice to have some sense of normalcy of a March Madness tournament and success. You know, all is right in the world when the Arizona Wildcats are doing well in multiple sports.
Yes, indeed. So we'll leave it at that. Make sure when you tune into the Arizona women's basketball game, the Final Four matchup against UConn at 6:30 p.m. Arizona time. It'll be on ESPN. Number 3 versus number 1. I don't know. Actually, is there better than number 1? Because if so, that's UConn. Like, it's Dynasty versus New Kids on the Block, if you will, but I don't think this will be Arizona's last Final Four either. Not that the way that program's going, and PJ just gave me even more optimism for that. So again, thanks to PJ Brown also for coming on Wildcat Radio 2.0, previewing this game for us. Hopefully we get her on again in the next couple of days, and we do an emergency show this weekend, because, you know, that would mean Arizona has another game to play, and how could we not talk about that if there's a championship game on the horizon? But everyone, thanks for listening to my return. This was fun. It's good to be back, especially during, like, nice times here. This is... Winning is fun.
You got married. You went on your honeymoon. You come back to a Final Four Arizona team. Everything's coming up, Adam, right?
Everything's coming up, Adam. So everyone, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Wildcat Radio AZ. Make sure you subscribed to the podcast on Wildcat Radio. Get it on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Leave us some reviews. Brett sent me a positive review when I was on my honeymoon. That just made things that much better. So we appreciate the positive reviews. If there was a negative one that he did not send me, thanks to Brett for not ruining my honeymoon with people hating us. But we'll catch you next week, hopefully, whatever the next show is, next week, this weekend, depending on what happens with this game on Friday. But until then, remember to bear down.
Bear down.